Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Cathy Curtis, the author of four previous biographies of notable 20th century women in creative fields. Her latest is Fearless, a biography of Edna O'Brien, an iconic literary figure best known for her groundbreaking novel, The Country Girls. Welcome to the show, Cathy.
Well, I'm delighted to be here with you, Hannah.
It's lovely to have you with us. Thank you for coming on the show. So what made you want to write about Edna O'Brien? Are you a fan of her work?
Oh, yes. I read, her 18 novels, her 8 short story collections. I absolutely loved her. And I became fascinated with her background because the thing is, here's this brilliant writer who grew up in a home with no books. And yes, she went to a convent school, and then she was trained to be a pharmacist, not her idea. She always wanted to be a writer. Her brother insisted that she be trained as a pharmacist. But that's sort of it. But all along, she's reading and she's writing. And the extraordinary thing about her is her persistence. There were so many roadblocks for her.
Yeah, she was determined.
Including her marriage. Early on, she's living in Dublin as a pharmacist, really. And she met her husband, Ernest Gabler, who was then quite a well-known novelist. And she was just totally smitten by his work and by his angular featured face and so on. And she just left her job and ran off with him. Her family was furious. They tried to get her back. And at first it was all working out and she had two lovely sons, but her husband claimed that he wrote her books. And this was a claim that lasted until really the end of his life. He was forever saying that. There isn't a grain of truth in it. At one point he just became so controlling. She had received a large check for writing a screenplay. And she refused to sign it over to him the first time she'd ever done that. And he put his hands around her throat and she just feared for her life. So she fled the house and it was quite a thing. I mean, her young sons were left behind and she was felt very guilty about it. And it took quite a while for her to gain custody and then finally divorce this man.
Gosh, how awful. What an awful thing to go through. And she also, having gone through that previously, she grew up with a violent father.
Yes, exactly. He was an alcoholic. At one point, he had a rifle, a gun of some sort. And he actually stood there with the gun pointed at his wife, and Edna was the youngest child, so the other children had left the household. A gun pointed at, the wife and the daughter, and there was somebody else in the house. And nonetheless, there he was. So he'd periodically be sent to dry out, and he'd come back. And then even her mother, who she was very, very close to her mother as the last child, and she used to, as a child, write her stories on her mother's forehead. And she always thought her mother loved this. Well, after her mother's death in 1977, she discovered that The Country Girls, which had been dedicated to her mother, she loved this woman. Her mother had deeply crossed out all the passages that she found unacceptable. And she even crossed out the dedication and then she buried the book in an outhouse.
What?
Her mother, a deeply religious woman, also very superstitious, and she did not trust the written word. She thought it was evil.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? But yet she felt close to her mother. Did their relationship suffer after that reaction?
Well, the mother was already dead, you see, when Edna discovered this. Her mother died.
Oh, I see. Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So she was, it was a terrible shock, She was back in Trum Granny, in County Clare, where she'd grown up in this rather nice house. So Yeah.
Awful shock. And tell us about after she got divorced, then she moved to London and had a great time there.
Well, she's already living in London because Ernest, her husband, had decided that his fortunes would be bettered in London. So she was there. And then, oh boy, she had the time of her life. She had an effervescent personality, at least in public. And she was on all the talk shows and she gave parties and there was lots of, you know, pot and alcohol. And then she had all these, I must say that they were, relationships that she just had, you know, one at a time, but relationships with a whole bunch of often rather famous men who were almost always married. So none of these relationships worked out.
Mm. And she changed her writing a lot in later years, talking about subjects that she wouldn't have got away with years previously, talking about political violence and sex as well.
Well, even the country girls, which, you know, today we'd be hard put to find what is so sexy about it. But, you know, at the time when the Catholic Church ruled everything in life, you know, in Ireland, you know, it was banned in Ireland, this book. You know, and then followed the other two books in the series, Girl with Green Eyes, Girls in Their Married Bliss. But then, so she was drawing to a large extent on her own life because the country girls, who were the country girls? Kathleen and Baba. Kathleen, the good girl, Baba, sort of the bad girl. And Edna often said that these were two facets of her own personality. But after this, she became involved in, she wrote novels based on various cases in the news, to deal with abortion, to deal with killing, to deal with an IRA man who was seeking a safe house. And so there were these books, Down by the River, In the Forest, House of Splendid Isolation. And then she began writing books about her experience of being a mother. And then her very last book, which I think is her greatest book, is called Girl. And it is about girls captured by the Boko Haram in Nigeria. And here's the thing. Edna, she's 80, in her mid-80s. She doesn't feel so well. She's soon going to have a cancer diagnosis. She takes two trips to Nigeria, two long trips with bribery money in her underwear, because you weren't permitted to do that, to bring that. And she interviewed the girls, she interviewed nuns, health workers. And this book, it took so much out of her because her normal style is very lyrical and flowery. But for this book, she just boiled it all down. It's very, very intense and very pared down. It's just a brilliant, brilliant book. And it was only after this book that her major awards began to roll in. I mean, she'd gone decades and decades and, you know, just was not honored by the literary world. But she won a major award from France, for example, right after this book. And
amazing for her to have gone to Nigeria and done all that research in potentially dangerous times when she was in her 80s. That's really impressive. Very brave of her.
Oh, yes. Well, she was always brave and in a public way. I mean, in private, she had her, I mean, the book is called Fearless because she really was. But like she was a human being. And so she did have fears. I mean, she was afraid of dogs. She never really learned to swim. She didn't want to drive. Oh, and not, okay, so she doesn't drive, but she had a hankering for, she's living in London all this time, and she had a hankering to live in the countryside in Ireland. And so she found some land, and one of her sons is an architect. And so a very shabby little house was turned into this marvelous place. But the neighbors were upset. And also, she hadn't really thought about it. To live in an isolated home, if you can't drive, she became ill. And if her architect son had not been visiting, and he was able to flag down the ambulance, which couldn't even find the address, she probably would have died. So she gave up that that house. I mean, she was a romantic through and through. No matter, you know, she just had dreams of how she could be, you know, and sometimes she tried to carry them out. And in this case, fortunately, you know, her son was there.
Yeah. So do you know whether she felt like she'd achieved everything she wanted to? I mean, to get that success with girls later on in life, did that kind of make her feel complete in terms of her career?
Well, the thing is, the success, I mean, there were critics who didn't think that a white Western woman should be writing about a young Black woman. So, you know, it did get, all of her books got massive, massive criticism from, I'm sorry to say, but from British reviewers. British reviewers never really liked her. I mean, they thought, they found some of her books disgusting. They didn't like her flowery language. And of course, she was too Irish. Then the feminists, you know, in the 70s and onward, found that the women in her books were too much enthrall to the men in their lives. These critics wanted Edna to write some woman, you know, who would stand up to men and so on. But the thing about Edna's writing, I mean, she said this over and over, she wrote about people as they are. She did not proselytize. She did not, you know, write books about how people ought to be. She was a marvelous observer of people and a very intuitive person. And so, I mean, she had the passion, the insight, the empathy, and the wisdom to write extraordinary books.
Yeah, I bet. I'm sure if a lot of Brits would pick up her books today, they wouldn't be at all disgusted and would be very much impressed.
I hope so, yes.
Well, if people want to get a copy of Fearless, a biography of Edna O'Brien, it's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Kathy Curtis, who we've been chatting with. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.